With regard to a story, I think that the story about the virus in China needs to receive careful attention, not least because of the front page story in the New York Times about how it's leading to massive bigotry and discrimination against people of Chinese ancestry in Canada, in South Korea, in Japan, in France, of all places. And in some ways, it's dovetailing with the larger hysteria about the rise of China, which obviously is in the passing lane. This is a story that we have to pay careful attention to because despite the hysteria about the virus, the flu right now is a major and more dangerous threat to human life. And I would also say that just a few weeks ago, China was forced to slaughter a good deal of its pig population because of the African swine virus, which had infected that population. And, of course, pork is a major item in the Chinese diet. Interestingly enough, some years earlier, Cuba had been forced to slaughter its pig population. Pork is also a popular item in Cuba. And it turned out subsequently that there had been a hostile intelligence agency, shall we say, in North America that played a role in circulating that virus in Cuba. Let us hope that no stories emerge subsequently about a similar role being played by these agencies in China.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Horn. And Laura Carlson, we have about 3 minutes left, perhaps dividing between you and Jackie, to talk about a story that you thought got short thrift.
Immigration, the crackdown in Mexico. We've been seeing images over the past week of the National Guard, the Mexican National Guard, newly formed, repressing, stopping, blocking Central American immigrants who arrived in another caravan of some 4,000 people at the U.S.-Mexico-Guatemala border. Those families of the nearly 4,000, almost all of them, have been summarily deported back to their countries to situations in which many of them cannot survive due to the violence or due to the lack of basic needs that characterize the places that they're coming from, the majority of them from Honduras. The narrative has been vicious in terms of just blocking these, and it creates a stark image of the battle that characterizes our times between the haves and the have-nots, between the oppressed and the people in power. And I think that this inequality that we're seeing runs throughout all the stories that we've talked about today and we'll be looking at in the future.
Absolutely. And Jackie Goldberg, your thoughts on a story that got short thrift?
I think probably the most short shrift is really the impact of tax relief that the tax cuts and relief that the rich got, and what that has really meant for the average American and for poor Americans and for people who didn't get that relief, and in fact, as many of whom found their taxes went up when they found out what the tax changes were this year when they're doing their taxes. So I think that the impact of the of billions to the rich and less money for the middle class and the poor was really not covered and is still not being covered, even though the outcomes are quite clear.
Yeah, and of course, the Iowa caucuses are about to begin. And on the whole issue of this income inequality and poverty that you both highlighted there, the tax cuts of the rich, not much for the rest of us. And Laura and Gerald's point, the Poor People's Campaign, the call for national call for moral revival, they're also pushing for the Democratic presidential candidates to have a forum on poverty and income inequality. They've been out protesting and picketing on Monday. They were in the Senate office buildings there. And so people could go to the website to get some more information on that, because that is really gets at the heart of practically everything that we are discussing of the issue of poverty worldwide. It connects with everything, including the environment.